Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The back alley of abortion operating today inside so-called legal abortion clinics.
What I think makes evolutionary theory bad science today is we're not allowing an honest testing of it.
If you're a Christian and you're going to oppose same-sex marriage, we're going to put you in Bigotville and you have to stay there. And if we catch you outside in likable land, then we're going to be very angry about this and punish you for kind of coming into our territory.
I think the liturgy really is children's church. You know, it's especially true when you see people who've lost their memory, who've lost their sight, who don't know how to read. Children who don't know how to read, they can all participate in the liturgy.
Latin teachers and future seminarians, love, issues, etc. Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificat or nomen tuum.
There are a few things that kind of give me the creeps. I can watch almost anything. I can pick up a spider. I can clean up blood. Whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. Things don't give me the creeps. But I have to say, something that gave me the creeps recently was watching a video of, and it wasn't anything that was grotesque, it was just creepy. Watching a video of the leader of the Church of Scientology making a speech to his faithful, it was creepy. And those who have come out of Scientology say it's not only creepy, it's also really expensive. And according to some of those celebrities who've come out, dangerous as well. So what draws people in to spend most of their money, give over their lives, perhaps even leave behind connections to family and friends to be a part of the Church of Scientology? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to a visit to the Church of Scientology with Bree Payton. A little bit after that, Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us. We're going to talk about two issues. There's an Economist article that talks about the legacy of Martin Luther in Germany, get his reaction to it. And there are anti-Semitism charges being leveled against a Martin Luther toy figure. You might have seen it. It's a little Lego figure of Martin Luther. Apparently, it promotes anti-Semitism. Uwe Simonetto will respond to both of those things. Suzanne Venker will be our guest. We'll talk about women's unrealistic expectations for men and marriage that often are very damaging to both women and their marriages. Holly Shear will join us to talk about sexist charges that have been leveled against actor Ryan Gosling. He made some remarks in his acceptance speech at the Golden Globes about his wife and how much he had to credit her with his success. And the reaction was, well, Ryan Gosling must be a sexist. Sounds like he is. And his wife, Ava Menendez, well, she's not very good herself. We'll get Holly Shear's take on that. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us in the end to begin a series on the conscience. Today, we're going to talk about three pictures of the conscience. You can join us with your questions or your comments over the course of the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Bree Payton joins us to talk about her visit to the Church of Scientology. She's cultural and millennial politics reporter for The Federalist and author of a recent article titled, I Visited the Church of Scientology, Here's What Happened. Bree, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
What is it that got you to enter the Church of Scientology there in Pasadena?
Sure. So I wanted to know what the church said to people to make them join and hand over gobs of money and even disassociate themselves with family members in order to work their way up the levels of the church. In short, I wanted to know what the church's elevator pitch was to people who just, you know, walked in the door and started asking questions. So I just happened to be walking by down in Old Town Pasadena and just happened to be walking by the Church of Scientology in Pasadena, and they had a visitor center facing the street with a sign that said free personality tests, you know, come on in and see what happens. So I just went in and started taking the test. And what I found and what some of the church members told me honestly made me afraid for the church's members.
All right. The thing that struck you first was you said it was a lot like a museum. It was pretty well appointed, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. So, you know, the church is known for investing a lot of its money in real estate. I think something like of the church's $1.75 billion in worth is tied up in real estate. And a lot of people say that they do this and invest so much money in real estate and keeping their buildings so elaborate and nice is so that way they can qualify and keep up their tax exempt status, right? So a church, a nonprofit entity, can't have just a massive amount of profit sitting in their bank accounts. They have to reinvest it. So the way that they're doing that is by buying up real estate and investing in that way. So, yeah, that's something that I noticed when I first walked in the door. But I think, honestly, what was more alarming during my visit and as time went on was how apparent the church seems to prey upon people who are insecure about themselves or are vulnerable.
Tell us about the personality test. What did it consist of?
Sure. So the personality test was a 200-question quiz, kind of like a Scantron quiz where there's, you know, multiple answers, and it would have a list of statements, and you could say that you strongly agree or disagree or are kind of neutral towards the statements. And a lot of them were questions about, you know, whether or not you could adhere to strict discipline, if you could obey authority figures, if you would continue to do something or believe in a belief system that was difficult, you know, even if you faced opposition, kind of like that. And a lot of those questions to me seemed like they were trying to suss out how good of a Scientologist that I would make, right? But a lot of the other questions that I was perhaps a little bit more alarmed about were the questions directed at to figure out how competent and confident I was, right? So these are things like, oh, does the idea of talking in front of people make you nervous? Can you start the ball rolling at a social gathering? Is your opinion worth sharing out loud, right? So after I finished taking this quiz, they told us, okay, we're going to grade these quizzes individually. I was there with my friends, so we'll grade these individually and talk about the results with you separately. But in the meantime, here are a couple videos, here are a couple presentations, here's some props, some interactive video monitors that you guys can, you know, kind of play around with and get to understand a little bit more about Scientology. You know, so during that process or these presentations, I was struck by how complicated their belief system is, right? Like if you ask, I asked a simple question like, do you guys believe in a deity? And instead of saying, oh, yes, or, you know, no, I was directed to this big chart that shows like the different levels of awareness, I guess, right? And the first like level of awareness is to start with yourself, then to move outwards toward those around you, and then to the environment and the country, and then eventually to an outward awareness of a supreme being that's out there somewhere.
Did they mention L. Ron Hubbard at all?
Yeah, we were, you know, directed. Oh, his books are everywhere all throughout. There's like a bookshop section of the visitor center, right? And a lot of his books are there on display. His books are like the core of their belief system, right? So as a Christian, I read the Bible to know what God has to say and what the truth is and, you know, what I should believe because I believe it to be infallible. But they view L. Ron Hubbard's works in kind of the same way, that everything he said was the truth, and they kind of sell his books and treat them as if they are scriptural and if they are like the Bible.
After you had taken the personality test, did you meet with anybody or did they discuss it with you?
Yes. So after we took the test and then after we did, you know, the video presentations and yada yada, we were eventually separated and a member of the church discussed my results with me and discussed the results, my friend's results with her. So on my score, on my quiz, it said that my weaknesses were that my thoughts are dispersed and that I'm frequently nervous and that I'm a critical person. And these are areas that the church says that I need to work on and I need to use the church in order to fix about myself and fix about my life. And my tour guide was kind of like, okay, so this is how the church can help you, yada, yada. How do you feel about these problems in your personality? And I was like, oh, I feel pretty fine about it. You know, I'm a functional person. I'm able to do my job and operate and do the things that I need to do. So I don't really feel that bad about him. And he was stunned to hear that, you know, I didn't feel bad about myself and that I didn't hate these personality flaws. And he explained himself that he scored very low on the communication aspect of the quiz and that he felt very not confident at all and that the church gave him a sense of confidence and worked with him and did like kind of communication drills to get better at communicating. And that kind of story was very similar in all of the church members that I talked to during my visit. I talked to 3 different people, all of them male, all of them, none of them were married, and none of them had an education level beyond a high school degree. One individual told me that when he was required to read something out loud in front of his history class, he just dropped out of high school because he was that nervous and insecure of a person. So to me, the questions in the quiz and kind of their comments and the way that they found Scientology all indicate to me that a lot of people who come to the church are doing so because they feel, you know, desperate or insecure or bad about themselves, and they're coming to the church in order to fix them, right? And so I think that just the whole way that the church is structured, in that, okay, their spirituality starts with yourself and fixing all of your problems, does appeal to individuals who may be feeling kind of vulnerable.
Talk about your experience with the e-meter machine.
Sure. So the e-meter machine, for those who don't know, is like this machine that detects the electricity that's flowing through your body. And you hold these 2 metal can-like objects in each of your hands. It creates kind of like a circuit, right? So there's a low level of electricity flowing through you that's going through each of the cans, through your body, to the machine, and then it's showing like what level it is. And so when you think of something or remember something, it shows up on the meter. And so when you have a painful experience, it shows up like it's the level of electricity goes higher on the meter screen. And then you have to talk about it or process it a couple of times, so that way the meter doesn't go up as high when you're thinking about it. And when you do that, they say that you're kind of rationalizing pain or painful thoughts or painful memories by bringing them. And I'm going to repeat their terminology here. They say that this is bringing memories or experiences out of out of the reactive mind and into the rational mind. And, you know, you can read more about what that is online, but long story short, basically my tour guide pinched me, and while I was holding the cans of the meter, and the pain level on the screen went up a little bit, and then after I thought about it a couple of times, the level of electricity didn't go through. And he told me that that was because I had rationalized the pain, basically.
Okay, that had to be an interesting experience. And we should say that this is the device that is commonly used in Scientology in order to reach their ultimate state, which they call clear, where all of the thetans are gone from your soul or something like that. This is standard practice in Scientology.
Yes, exactly, right. So a lot of painful experiences that people have, you know, do oftentimes hold them back in real life, right? Or make them feel insecure. Like if you have, you know, if you're in a relationship and that person is, you know, maybe abusive or tells you how crummy you are all the time, you might start to believe it, right? So this is kind of, okay, this is how we deal with problems that have happened in your life or in your past lives, because they believe in reincarnation, and this is how they're going to fix them. And my friend who is on medication for antidepression, they actually told her that she should stop taking her medication. And her tour guide actually bragged that he got a schizophrenic man to stop taking his medication the week before we were there.
Was there a sales pitch?
Yes. So the sales pitch was basically that here are the problems that you have. This is what the test tells us. These are your flaws. the church will help you fix them. You can do that through auditing, which is using that EMIR machine that we talked about a bit earlier, by going through the Dianetics courses, by reading these books. So here's books you can buy. Here's auditing sessions that you can buy. Keep coming back and donating to the church, and this will fix all of your problems. And here are all these other people that will tell you that they had all these other problems and that the church solved them all. So basically, they tell you that the church and its methods will 100% fix all of the problems in your life. So that's why you need to commit to it and stick to it and spend money and invest in it.
So they also, I take it, said, don't believe everything you read on the internet about us Scientologists.
Yes, right. So they tried to get my friend to buy a copy of L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics book. And she was kind of like, I don't need to buy that today. I can just get that. Made a comment like, I can just buy that on Amazon tomorrow. And her tour guide was like, oh, you know what? I'm a little bit afraid of if you try to Google the book and Google Scientology, what the Google results might be. You know, you can't believe everything on the internet. There's a lot of lies out there about the church and about us. So I'm just worried about what you're going to read. And within the Church of Scientology, from what I understand and what I have heard from former church members, is that you actually are not allowed to read disparaging information about Scientology, right? This is actually like breaking a rule. So, you know, I think it's very clear that they know that there are bad things out there about them. They know that a lot of people know the truth and the inside dealings of the church. And I think it's very clear that they're trying to suppress that and aren't interested in engaging with the truth at all. Rather, they want to bury it, hide it, and tell people, no, you can't trust the internet.
You even asked the person who was dealing with you in that one-on-one session about what happens if someone wants to leave the Church of Scientology. What kind of response did you get?
Right. So this is the most alarming part of the visit. You know, you hear a lot of these stories that people aren't allowed to leave the church, or if they do decide to leave the church, that there are dire consequences, right? Or I shouldn't say dire, I should say serious consequences. Those being that your family and your friends that are in the church will stop talking to you and will disconnect from you and have no further contact from you, and you will be completely 100% on your own. So when I was asking him a little bit about that, he said, and this is basically me repeating this verbatim, we can't force anyone to stay, but I can see why people would have that idea.
What did that sound like to you?
It sounds like the church is going to be rather aggressive with you if you try to leave and if you break the church's rules. And I think the fact that this is the person who's trying to sell me on the church, right? And this is the nicest possible way that he could put that, I think that that's rather alarming. You know, if someone were to ask me, a Christian, oh, what happens if you try to leave the church or aren't interested in Jesus or the Bible or Christianity anymore, what would happen? Could you leave? I would be like, oh, of course, you could turn your back on Christ if that's what you decided to do. You know, and your family should still accept you and love you, and the loved ones around you will still be fine with it, right? They might be disappointed, but they're not going to shun you. So, you know, I just think that the fact that that's the nicest way that he could have possibly put that response is rather alarming.
Bree Payton is culture and millennial politics reporter for The Federalist and author of a recent article there titled, I Visited the Church of Scientology. Here's What Happened. You'll find a link to it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bree, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. We'll be talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto about Luther's influence in Germany even today, according to The Economist. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine with bright
joy. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.